Philippians chapter 3, verses 8 through 14. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For His sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, and may share His suffering, becoming like Him in His death, that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me His own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. There are so many sermons in this. I know we went through Philippians in our Wednesday night Bible study. We kind of got stuck on this one, didn't we, Dan, didn't we? It was some good stuff and all that. What do you do at the first of the year, every year? You make resolutions. I'm going to change and stuff. You look back at 2018 and you look forward to 2019 and say, I can't go through another 2018. I got to change. Have you ever made any New Year's resolutions yourself? I try to stay away from them because you know why I stay away from them? Because they don't work. Or I don't work. Now, researchers have found that about one-third of Americans make resolutions each year. It's human nature. When we pass some significant milestone that we say we're going to mark this event and this is going to change my life. And oftentimes we find areas that we need improvement. And the areas that we find at New Year's especially is the one consistent resolutions. What would you think the number one would be? Yeah, that's the one. I was fortunate for so long that I never even had to consider that one. I am considering it. How about exercise? How many of y'all, did y'all go join a gym? Anybody do that? Anybody say, I'm going to get fit for this year? Colton did. How about spend more time with the family, joining Weight Watchers, gyms, Skyrockets, and how about quitting? I'm going to quit some bad habit. It's human nature to want to do better. And there's a lot of folks out there today who are going, you know what? I'm going to go to church. I'm going to make it my commitment and I'm going to get back in church this year. Not as much today, but in years past, we've had a lot of folks the first couple of weeks of January pop into church and they're going to get, and then that's all you see them. So, it's human nature to want to do better. It's also human nature to fail. Most resolutions last about 3 days to 3 weeks. And by February, certainly by February, we're back in our old ruts that we promised ourselves that we'd get out of. It doesn't take long for reality to snuff out what little bit of willpower that we had. Terry, can we do stuff all this on our own? You try doing it on your own, you're in trouble. So why is it so hard to change even when we want to change, even when we know we need to change? Why is it so hard? Well, for one thing, people set unrealistic goals. for themselves. Instead of setting goal to lose 10 pounds, they set a goal to lose 100. Or they make too many resolutions at once. I'm going to change this, 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 and it's overwhelming. I'm going to quit smoking. I'm going to start reading my Bible. I'm going to start eating right. I'm going to spend time in prayer, and all these are wonderful things, but you need to concentrate on just one because you won't be able to do all of them for sure. And we often fail because we often underestimate how hard it is to change. And some in their resolutions, they fail in them because they lack commitment to follow through. They have developed a habit, a pattern, if you will, of quitting. Now, we like to say in Broken Society, they're a bunch of quitters. But we like to quit. We have developed a habit of quitting because we just say, well, it's what the use? It doesn't matter. Why should I even begin something new when I know I'm going to fail? Why pretend that change is possible when you know you're going to blow it? To some, resolution making is a waste of time because it leaves them feeling worse about themselves. Well, there's something to that. It's a reminder about how often we do fail at trying to change anything in our lives. There's a month, I understand this need, this fear of failure, but at the same time, all of us have areas in our lives that need improvement, don't they? Is anybody in here got everything, is this right where they exactly need to be? I mean, please don't say yes, you're going to make me feel really bad. We're all in need of some change in our lives. I can assure you, we need it. We need change in our lives. We need change in our families. We need change in our churches. There's just no doubt about it. And January has been considered the perfect time to make those changes for centuries. You know why why it's called January? Because a Roman named it after the Roman god Janus. And Janus is depicted of having two faces facing opposite. One looking back and one looking forward for the new year. Now, the Romans understood that at the start of a new year, you can't help but try to be hopeful about improvement in your lives. So maybe you look back at 2018 with sadness. Maybe you see the failure in the old year. And now you're looking into 2019 and you have a desire to do some things differently. And today I want to show you from God's Word just how you can get a fresh start with goals that God wants you to set. Let me just ask you a quick question. Do you think that God wants you to be a better person? Do you think God wants you to be a more spiritual person? Do you think God wants you to come to church more often? Do you think God wants you to give of yourself more to God? Do you think God wants you to quit the habits that you got? I could go on and on and on, and the answer would be yes. And so, don't you think that God could help you with those things? Amen. We can get a fresh start, but not in the way that we've been doing it. There are three things you need, according to Paul in this passage this morning, that you're going to need to do if you want to get a real fresh start in life. And all of them involves God in the middle of it. The first thing that you need to do is you must forget the things that are behind. The past. Listen to his wisdom in verse 13. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind. If you hope to change, there are some things in the past that you're going to need to forget. It's in the past. You'll live there for the rest of your life if you don't forget some of the things in the past. The first thing you need, there's two things you need to forget about your past. You need to forget about your failures. Man, I can go back and I can relive some of my failures. Some of them I've tried to forget. And You know, and sometimes they just come back to haunt you. You need to confess your failures before God and move on. If what you've done is counted under the grace and the blood of Jesus Christ, if that's what you've done, quit obsessing on it. Just quit it. Don't worry about it. Just quit it and give it to God. And then forget about it. John reminds us that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Paul said in Romans 8:1, "There is now therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." And God told Peter in Acts chapter 10, "What God has cleansed no longer is considered unholy." If you've accepted Christ into your heart, into your life today, you are clean, according to God. You're no longer unholy. The things that you've done before you come to know Christ, the things you've done after you come to know Christ, are covered by His blood. Does He like it? No. Is it something He wants you to continue doing? No. But are you forgiven? Yes. You are forgiven. Because why? Because the psalmist declared in Psalms 103, "As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed us from our transgressions." Forget about the past. Well, you just don't know how bad I messed up. You don't know how much I messed up my life. I don't care. And neither does God. He's worried about right now. Let go of it. It's in the past. You may be dealing with some things, some issues, consequences from those things. But you know what? You can't change it. It's in the past. Now, hold on a second. Before I get started, I am not trying to diminish the awfulness of sin. But I'm here to remind you about God's Word. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. How do you look at yourself? Do you define yourself by your past? If you do, you're not looking at yourself the way God looks at you. When Paul looked back, he saw a lot of things he was ashamed of. How he blasphemed the name of Jesus, persecuted the church, and opposed the gospel.
Yeah.
But he was no longer that man.
All
right. He'd been forgiven.
Yes, sir.
He refused to allow his past failures to define who he was. God no longer saw him that way, and neither does He see you or me that way. Quit letting the past define our future. Sometimes it's good to look back to remind ourselves of the greatness of God's grace and His glory in our lives. Sometimes we look back and we say, "Man, God has been good."
Yes, sir.
Has He?
Amen.
When you look back, and you're supposed to look, you look back and you see that. It keeps us humble. It makes us thankful. But if we dwell on the past, we are doomed to repeat the past. You know what the difference between a windshield and a rear view mirror is? The rear view mirror is much smaller. And it's designed for a quick glance backward. The windshield is where you're supposed to look and keep your eyes trained. At least I don't want people doing that while they're driving, do you? You know what it'll be? Keep looking backwards. And that's exactly what the rear view mirror is for. It's just a quick glance backwards of where you've been. But that windshield is your future and where you're headed, and you need to keep your eyes focused upon the future and not the past, because if you look back in the past, you'll get in a ditch. And that's just the truth. If you want to succeed this year, you're going to have to let go of the past. But you know what? Past failures are not all we need to forget. We need to forget past successes too. What? Yeah. The successes of your past, you kind of need to forget those also. In fact, when you read what Paul says in his chapter, he tells us about all the things he left behind. You know, how he would not allow his previous successes to prevent him from being all that God wanted him to be now. Past victories can lead us to be satisfied. Past victories can lead us to be nostalgic. And therefore, we're just virtually useless. Living in the past. I've heard it. I heard it so many times when I was working, and you know, they used to be considered a miracle man. I would go in and I would be able to do things that no one else thought possible. I work myself to death. I'm going to do it. So I just make myself, and they would go, "Whoa, you just work miracles." But you know what? The day the miracle stopped and I failed, they forgot all about those previous things. It's not about what you've done. It's about lately. What have you done for me now? What are you doing now? I know a lot of Christians who are virtually useless in the work today because they think about what they did yesterday. How they used to do this. How they used to do that. And they're basically coasting into retirement without regard for the work today. This is not yesterday. This is not 10 years ago. This is not 20 years ago. This is not 100 years ago. This isn't 2,000 years ago. This is 2019, and the work is continuing today. What are you doing for Him today? Dead churches have a tendency to sit on former accomplishment. Well, we used to have a lot of folks. Self-satisfied, without desire or burden for the work of the Lord today. They just want to go back to the way it was. I pray that's not us. We ought to learn from our past, not yearn for it. Focus on the things before you. Listen to it again. Straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upper calling of God in Christ Jesus. What he's talking about is the Olympic athlete. And he's racing in competition with others for a prize. He's running with all his might. And as he approaches the finish, you've seen them at the finish line, where they just throw themselves at the end. And, you know, that with that tape. Just throwing themselves at the end with everything they've got. He wants to be first to cross that line. And at that moment, he is not thinking about past successes. And he is not thinking about failures in the past. All he's thinking about is one thing. Crossing that finish line first. He's not going around saying, "Man, I just really messed up 10 years ago." He's saying, "I've got to get past that line. I've got to get there." There's two things that need to be remembered here. First, the race demands my whole self, everything I have, everything I have to serving the Lord right now. So when I'm talking to folks in the ministry, I enjoy about hearing what they've done. But I love hearing more about what they're doing now. So what are you doing right now? As Christians, it ought to be our passion to serve the Lord with excellence. We ought to be excited about serving God with excellence. Solomon tells us in the book of Ecclesiastes that whatever we put our hands to, we ought to be done with all of our might. We ought to do it right. We ought to do it with everything that we have. If you're a teacher, then you ought to strive to be the very best. If you're a nursery worker or a youth leader, you ought to devote yourself to that thing. How about singing, giving, soul winning, whatever God puts in your heart to do for Him, do it with all your heart. We ought never to be satisfied with less than our very best to give to our Lord. Don't be one of those who skirts by with as little preparation or effort as possible. Give yourself to a thing, and like an athlete prepares for his competition, and go for it. Don't stop. Don't look back and say, "Well, this ain't going to end well. I'm going to lose again. It's just going to be the same old, same old." No. Go. Just keep moving. The second thing here is keep the goal in sight. Keep the goal in sight. What is the goal? Paul explains, "I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." The person who trains for an athletic competition doesn't sacrifice and put on all those hours in because he wants to come in second place. It just amazes me the hours that people put in to go to the Olympics. They train constantly over and over and over for hours and hours. They're giving up all kinds, many times kids who are giving up their entire childhood. And you say, well, it's all right. Everything's fine. You came in second. You came in third. You did good. No, they wanted to win. They didn't put all that time in not to. You know why they did? Because they saw the goal. They pictured themselves on that platform with that gold medal around their neck. That's the only thing, that's the only reason why they kept working so hard and they kept striving. They had a goal to accomplish. Now, he wants to be called up to the stand above his peers, and Paul does, and have that crown, that laurel wreath crown placed upon his head. That was Paul's goal. He knew that one day he would stand before the judge of the universe, and he wanted to hear him say, well done, my good and faithful servant. It's not the applause of men that he was desiring, but the approval of God. In light of all that Jesus had done for him, he wanted to give his very best to his Lord. Now, I've heard a lot of well-meaning Christians say, I don't care about anything about rewards. Making it to heaven will be enough already. Mm-hmm. They don't really realize what they're saying. Serving the Lord with all of our might is the greatest way we have of worshiping Him. All the crowns we receive in heaven we'll cast at His feet. We'll get the crowns and then we're going to cast it at His feet. As an offering of the praise for all that Jesus means to us. As if to say, I'd never accomplished anything without you. Now, I want you to understand something. We're to work for Him so we can give our rewards back to Him. Can you imagine going through life? Oh, I don't need to work. I'm all right. You know, I don't need those crowns. And then you stand before Him and everybody's throwing their crowns and their rewards back at His feet and you have nothing. Don't tell me there ain't no peer pressure. He's going to look at you and say, you have nothing to give? So, dear friend, as we stand at the beginning of this new year, ask yourself, what can I do this year that'll help me bring glory and honor to our Lord and our Savior? The last thing that we find here is that we should fulfill those things that are beyond us. That are beyond us. Verse 12, it says, not that I have already attained this or I am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus had made me His own. M.R. DeHaan said this. He said, self-satisfaction is the death of progress. Dissatisfaction with past accomplishments is the mother of invention. Pity the man who is content with his own progress and feels he has arrived. This is all the more true in the Christian life. Nothing is as deadly as self-satisfaction. The most boring people I've ever met, are those who take up my time telling me all the things that they have accomplished in the past. You know what I'm talking about. I've done this, this, this. Well, what are you doing now? Well, I'm not really doing anything. Why not? They ought to be doing something now. Do you know how many preachers, how many church members, and how many churches are sitting back on their laurels right now saying, we did all this, we're good, we've done all this in the past. No one would have found fault with Paul had he reached this place in his life. And he says, you know what? The Apostle Paul says, you know what? I think I'm going to retire. I've worked hard. I've served the Lord faithfully all these years. I put myself out there. It's time for me to do a little something for me. But he didn't say that. What he said was, I haven't attained what I want to attain. I haven't reached the place I want to be. I am not finished yet. He's not finished with me yet. There are so many places to go with this. Do I talk about me and me being complacent? Do I talk about y'all? Do I talk about the church? I'm going to talk about what God expects of us all. He wants us to work till the night is done. You know, Paul would not be satisfied until his last breath, giving his all to Jesus. Paul did a work that was beyond him. I've heard it so many times, and unfortunately I've said it myself. Well, I just can't do that. I can't do that. And you're right. You can't. When you try, you fail. But what God does is allows us to do things that are beyond us, just like He did for Paul. Do you think that Paul could have done all this himself? No. Paul did a work that was beyond him, working day by day, preaching by night. He suffered just about every hardship a man could endure: starvation, rejection, controversy. He was stoned, beaten, left for dead. Demands many, and the rewards were few. The average man would have folded under the weight of the obligation of what Paul was doing. But God was empowered by God to do a work that was beyond him, establishing churches all over the Middle East and portions of Europe and Asia. He sold out. He was utterly committed. Listen, you want to live the Christian life? It is utterly beyond you. It's beyond me. If you think that you're going to make these changes on your own, with your own willpower, and maybe you think that you can't make these changes because they are beyond you, there's no way that'll ever be able to change. There's no way that this church will ever change. There's no way that, well, you just fill it in. There's no way you'll be able to change. Serving the Lord with perseverance and power is beyond us, but as we look at the call of God upon our church to reach souls for Christ, to help family and friends find the love and the life of Christ, to change lives and eternal destinies, that work is beyond us. We can't do this. But God is able to do great things through those who are not satisfied. He is able to achieve great things through ordinary people who are completely surrendered to Him. Sure, I can't do it. But you know what? A lot of times it's because I don't want to. I can't change. It's because I don't want to change. And then when I do come myself, when I find myself in a position where I really do want to change something, I don't have the strength to do it. But when I give it all to God, and it's something God wants me to do, He'll enable me to do it if I'll let Him change me. Looking back, we are certainly thankful for all the Lord that He's done for us. But I refuse to focus on that, guys. I mean, I don't want to live in the past. I can mention the days, some of the great days spiritually that we've had in church and here and back in other places in my life, and I wish we could have that kind of service again, that kind of feeling again. But I believe God is going to take us places that we have not been yet. The best is yet to come. I believe it. Spiritually speaking, I believe God's going to do some, can and will do some marvelous things in our hearts, in our lives, and in our church. I'm going to focus on what He's planning, not what He's done. So, He is well able to do exceedingly above all that we ask or think. And maybe we're not asking Him enough. Maybe we're saying, I know we need to do some things differently in our lives, in our church, but you know what? It'll never happen, so I'm not going to even ask. You know what? It's not that bad here. It's not that bad. You know, we're making it through. And if we're just faithful to the end, we'll just be satisfied with what He's given us and take it for there. No, He doesn't want that. He don't want us to be saved and satisfied. He wants us to be working. He wants us to be looking forward to what He has got in store for us. Will you give more of yourself this year than you have in the past? The Lord can do mighty things through a people unwilling to settle for less. Unwilling to settle for less. So do you need a fresh start? Do you need to start over again? You need some major changes in your life and in our church. Forget the things that are behind you. Focus only on the things that are before you. And fulfill the things that are beyond you. Try. Quit settling. Quit dwelling on the past. Fulfill the goal that God has for you in your life and then ask Him to go beyond. Can you do that today? This message is about saved people and their relationship with God. Let me tell you, what race are you running if you don't know Christ as your Savior? What's the goal? You need to get in the race. If you're here today and you've never asked Jesus Christ into your heart, into your life, and the Holy Spirit's come and touched your life and said and convicted your spirit and said, you need to come to me and be one of mine. Have you never done that? If you haven't, then you're not even in the race. Not in the same race. What a great change that would be. It's the greatest change that God can ever make upon a person is to come into their life and change their spirit and their soul. Change their eternal destiny from heaven, from hell to heaven. So what is it with you this morning? Are you a saved child of God and you're just dwelling in the past? Or maybe you're just focusing on your everyday mundane things of life? Or maybe you're just thinking that I can't do anything because I've never done it before. Give it to God. Remember to put all these things away. And if you're here tonight, this morning, and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, you can make the biggest change ever. An eternity in heaven, from an eternity in hell to an eternity in heaven. You can make that change today just by simply asking Him to change you. So as we stand and prepare for an invitation, I don't know your heart. I don't know your life. I don't know where you're at. But I can tell you something. God does. He wants you to be a working, saved child of God. He's wanting you to work. He's wanting you to not be satisfied with the status quo. He has got stuff that He wants you to do. So quit worrying about the past. Quit thinking about the failures. Quit dwelling on all the successes and think it's time for me to retire. Just keep working. Keep doing. So as we sing, what is it the Lord is doing with you?